This is Cool Science Radio. I'm Lynn Ware Peek, here with John Wells. Our guest Richard Lieberman reveals haunting details about the mechanics of genetically modified food in his new book, Bad Seed. So Lieberman writes a novel, in fact, the first novel to base its plot on genetic engineering in the food industry. Although it is fiction, Lieberman has meticulously researched the topic to write factually accurate current scientific and technological research and knowledge so that the reader will be immersed not only in an exciting story, but also a scientific briefing on this very timely issue. The gene editing technique that the protagonist uses for her work in the book is real, and the revolutionary biological tool CRISPR and all its future refinements will enable scientists to bring about miraculous improvements to the health and well-being of humankind. We're glad that Richard Lieberman could join us. Welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Good morning, Lynn and John. Happy to be here.
This book of yours is interesting in that you chose to make it a fiction. You've got this wild protagonist, Aurora Blanc, and you did so because I think you wanted to convey all of this information that you have that you were worried was going to be sort of scientifically dull.
Well, that's exactly right, Lynn. I began the project. I spent about a year researching the science. And as I began to write this nonfiction book, I determined that the story has so many moral and ethical issues. And most people don't know anything about this CRISPR genetic engineering tool, that I thought it would be a great vehicle to use in a novel where you could really, really get into it. And the story involves this beautiful, brilliant young woman research scientist, and it follows her rise from a penniless student to a potentially psychopathic Silicon Valley billionaire. And the gene editing techniques that she uses in her book for her invention, they're real. And this revolutionary biological tool, CRISPR, will enable scientists to bring about miraculous improvements to the health and well-being of everyone, but this unprecedented power to alter genetic makeup of plants and animals poses immense risk and dangers.
Just last week, we spoke with the head of synthetic biology for a company called Synthigo. His concern was that we hear so much negative and even really controversial and very dramatic stories in the news media. Specifically, if you look, I think it was last October or so when the Chinese doctor was nabbed for some very unscrupulous genetic engineering. Now, our guest, the bioengineer from Synthigo, his mission was really to set the record straight about CRISPR technology, talking about all the promise it showed and saying that we really hear the downsides and the controversial sides. I believe that's what you're trying to do also in your book, is you present both sides, but you also show how easily power can corrupt when it comes to bioengineering.
Well, exactly right, because folks tend to come down on one side or the other of, GMOs, and it's much more complicated. What, of course, makes it much more significant right now is this new CRISPR tool. And I don't know, how much your listeners know about it, but it essentially allows a graduate student in his basement to transplant DNA from one organism, plant or animal, to another organism for a few thousand dollars and with some cheap tools. So what would take a corporation with scientists and millions of dollars and years to do before now can be done with just about anybody who's got a minimal understanding of bioengineering.
And Richard, are you referring to CRISPR-Cas9?
That's exactly what I'm referring to. And to the extent your listeners don't know how it works, I think the best way to describe it is think about a microscopic scout that travels to the exact location in the DNA of an organism, a plant or animal, and then uses a laser the cut into the gene in exactly the right place, and then put in the DNA from another plant or animal, then sew it back together, and bingo, you've got a brand new or significantly altered organism. It's revolutionary. Sounds like science fiction, but it is real. And as I say, in a week, a scientist can do what a team of researchers would spend years working on before.
It's kind of like the find and replace function in Word, where you've got a 10,000-page document, and you just give it instructions, and it goes out, finds the word, cuts it, and replaces with something else. It's
John, that's another great way to describe it.
And I agree with you that, you know, people fall into two camps, either thinking it's going to solve all the world's problems or lead to its demise. There's so much sensational news on CRISPR, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it evolves.
Well, that's right. And let's look at the government's position on this. They've been, in terms of agriculture, they basically let business do whatever they want. And they've rightly recognized this great economic benefit in genetic engineering, producing cheaper food and more efficient agricultural production. I mean, Americans used to spend 20% of their income on food. Now it's less than 10%. Worldwide, I mean, people like Bill Gates are behind it because you feed, you know, impoverished people in third countries with cheaper, more efficient food. And the government's saying, okay, you can use CRISPR for this. But the problem is with CRISPR, we're like moving from a gunpowder to a hydrogen bomb, since anybody can now genetically engineer food or whatever in their bedroom. There's, you know, essentially no meaningful oversight.
Richard, if you could explain to us, you know, most of us go into the grocery store and, oh gosh, when I was a kid, it was the eating watermelon seeds. Well, not eating the seeds, but spitting them across the room if you could. Now we know we have watermelon without seeds. So that would be an example of a genetic hybridization or modification that we see as very benign, I think, and a wonderful thing. And then it moves into the realm of the worrisome when it comes to genetic engineering. And so can you take us through that spectrum of what concerns you the least and the most?
Well, let's take a couple of examples with real life things. You know, there's now experimentation with government approval going on in terms of genetically modifying pig organs for human transplant. I mean, this is a good thing because thousands of people die in our country waiting for transplants from, you know, human beings. And what scientists are doing right now using CRISPR is they're modifying pig organs, which are very much like ours, to take out the viruses that prevented us from using those organs for transplant. And that's a wonderful thing, and it's very likely it will work. On the other hand, this was widely reported. There's this scientist in China, rogue scientist, who genetically engineered real human embryos, twin girls, to make them resistant to their father's HIV and to change their intellectual ability. This scientist got in trouble with the Chinese government, but it illustrates how, without regulation, there can be experimentation that could go in some very dangerous directions.
You said a few moments ago that business has been pretty much unregulated and has been able to do whatever it wants in terms of modification, at least in plants, up to this point. What will we see going forward? I mean, the example of the Chinese doctor is a good one because it shows that while a lot of people might say the resistance to HIV passed down from parent is good, certainly creating a more intelligent duo of twins is really questionable.
Well, and that's the big debate. This is so new. I mean, I hope in my book, Bad Seed, it really illustrates the issue, because you've got this scientist who, in good faith, develops this corn seed that, when fed to cows, creates a heart-healthy cattle, as opposed to what most people eat now, which is kind of a lethal, cholesterol-filled animal that kills people. And this was all done, for the greater good. She becomes rich and famous and a billionaire, and it creates this big product. But then something goes awry, and ergo the title, Bad Seed. And I think it kind of opens up the discussion in terms of, this could be a wonderful thing, this could be a frightening thing, and how do you deal with it?
If you're just joining us on Cool Science Radio, we're having a conversation with Richard Lieberman. He has written the book Bad Seed. It is a fictional book, but there's a lot of technology in it on CRISPR gone wrong, and it raises a lot of questions. And I would tell you, we should talk about the book a little bit. Your protagonist, Aurora Blank, has a couple of big life lessons early in the book. First one, when she's like 19 years old. Previously, she was pretty much poor, didn't have any money. And her friend Jane starts pimping for her, and she, you know, she steps up, the way she looks and those sorts of things. And she starts turning tricks in this escort service. And she says this, and this is just a great life lesson. She said, life lesson gone wrong. The job was teaching me something new, something valuable. If I just took a script and followed it like an actor, I could be so much more than the timid, mousy me. And maybe I could start writing my own script for the rest of her, for the rest of my life. And that's exactly what she did. She became a completely different persona working on this script. And I just want to mention, the second life lesson came in the next chapter. Her mentor, Professor Frazier, is telling her, you know, Monsanto's making GMO seeds all the time. They have no oversight. We have to be careful with this technology. And she completely disregards it. She steals the technology from him, and then it's off to the races. So these are a couple of interesting life lessons, aren't they?
Well, they are. You know, some readers, John, have asked me whether or not this was based on the true life Elizabeth Holmes' Theranos blood testing device scandal. You know, there's an HBO documentary and a nonfiction book on it. This was the woman who came up with this blood testing device, which turned out to be a fraud. And while the book is not really based on that, I was aware of her situations. And there are some similarities that I think are, have some real life significance. One, in both my book, Aurora Blank, and Bad Seed, and Elizabeth Holmes, they were both able to raise just hundreds of millions of dollars for their companies for complex scientific discoveries that most investors would not and could not possibly understand. And I think it points out that how even the smartest investors base their faith in the charm and appeal of the inventor and CEO. I think that raises the question for, you know, discussion about the funding of these companies, particularly in this space. But yeah, and there's a significant difference in that in the Elizabeth Holmes true life case, that was deceit and fraud. Here in Bad Seed, we're dealing with unintended consequences of well-meaning bioengineering, GMOs. While, you know, my book is fiction, the real-life ramifications of this new science will affect everybody for better or worse going forward.
Well, it's a great read, and I can see a movie. Have you been contacted yet?
Yeah, both the publisher and a producer are shopping it. We all think it's pretty cinematic and that she's a pretty fascinating, complex person, Aurora Blank and Bad Seed. So, you know, maybe that will happen. Mm-hmm.
Just be careful that somebody doesn't buy it that happens to be Monsanto in the background and they bury the thing.
Conspiracy.
Words of wisdom.
Well, since John brought up Monsanto, let's talk a little bit about Monsanto. You know, other companies perform genetic engineering, Monsanto seems to be the most egregious and the one that is getting away with the most and the one that has become the Antichrist. Why is that?
Well, you know, the question is whether they are getting away with it. I mean, on one hand, the fact that it was a big company using the old way of genetic engineering, very slow, a lot of money, it made their situation pretty transparent. Everybody knows about it. They have been sued. There's issues about the safety of their product. So the public sees it. The difference in terms of CRISPR is that it's not so transparent. Anybody can do it, and they can do it very quickly. And that's why I think we've moved into a different era with this new biological tool.
I'm curious why you decided on a woman for a protagonist.
Well, you know, I think all of us write novels do so based on inspiration from people they've seen in their life or worked with and so on. And, you know, for me, you know, as a lawyer and kind of living a life, I've seen people in the business community and you kind of draw upon some of them to put together a character. So I tried to make her real in terms of things that exist in the corporate world. And I thought it would be interesting in terms of a young woman appealing in that regard, and also creates the ambiguity about this beautiful, appealing person who's kind of fought the odds to succeed and yet is conflicted with, you know, villainous impulses. She's not black and white. So I hope we've created an interesting character.
Richard, we only have a minute or two left, and I wanted to ask your opinion on this. First of all, I believe that oversight is important. I think regulation is important as well, and we need to proceed carefully. But I also believe that you can never underestimate the black market, because whatever safeguards the world will put in place, there will be individuals with resources setting up CRISPR and sequencing labs, and they'll be serving the needs of very wealthy clients that are willing to pay for it. So this technology is so easy to get a hold of today, I'm concerned that the black market may take over.
I share your concern, John.
Yeah, it's interesting.
The book is Bad Seed. Our guest is Richard Lieberman. It's an interesting read, and someone compared it to, you know, the work of Michael Crichton or someone like that. If you're interested in gene editing and CRISPR and you have a tendency to not to be a layperson, this is a good way of familiarizing yourself in an entertaining way. And that's what we try to do here on Cool Science Radio. So it fits right in with what we're doing here. Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Lynn. And may I say, it's available today on Amazon. Look for Bad Seed by Richard Lieberman, not to be confused with The Bad Seed, an old movie. And it'll also be in bookstores in May. But Bad Seed by Richard Lieberman on Amazon today.
All right. Sounds
good,
Rick. Thank you so much.
Thank you both. Bye-bye.